I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, not beholden to any party or any politician, just willing to look at the world through a calm, rational, common sense lens. This is Friday, next hour. Probably the first hour and first part of the second hour are going to kind of bleed together here, as I normally do, False Flag Friday. Every Friday from 10 to 10:30, where I explain how we are lied and propagandized into wars, and we are seeing it play out live right now with what's going on in Ukraine. I've got a great long clip of somebody from the area. It's kind of explaining what the parts Americans have been missing. I've been saying it. If you've been listening to this show, if you accept what I've explained to you about the history of what's going on in the Ukraine area between Russia and Ukraine and the actual actions of the Ukraine government, this won't be anything new to you, but, you know, we'll bring a little backup here of somebody who actually lives there and knows what's going on. And then we'll end up this show as we do every Friday, as we put another week in the books with this week on the crazy train. Plenty of clips for that. We'll start off with a couple of quotes of the day. First two are a little more philosophical than topical right now. John F. Kennedy said, "Conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth." It's always funny to look back on Kennedy. I believe he was our last real president. And I say that because that's why he was killed. that was really when the United States had its coup. And it's funny to look at Kennedy and realize he's vastly more conservative in a whole host of areas than most of the Republicans of today. This was an interesting one. Here's a philosophical question for you. A guy named Chuck Palahniuk. Palahniuk? Palahniuk. Chuck Palahniuk. I think that might be what it is. He said, if death meant just leaving the stage long enough to change... Let me get this right. If death meant just leaving the stage long enough to change costume and come back as a new character, would you slow down or speed up? I find that interesting, but particularly to me personally, I have this question all the time. I'm sure a lot of people have this idea, particularly as you get to middle age, you get wiser, you think of all the things that you coulda, shoulda, woulda done, and you think, oh, if I had another crack at this, I got to tell you, with the knowledge I have now, if I had another crack at this, oh boy, I can tell you what, and I'm not just talking about buying Bitcoin in 2009. What a whole host of things that if you could take your experiences from one time around this, your trips around the sun, and invest them in a second try at it, boy, you know. You see some of these kids who come up and they're suddenly these prodigies and you think, it sounds like somebody's come back around. Would you speed up or slow down if you knew that death was just meant you're about to crank it all up and get to change costumes and become a new character? Now, I just find that interesting. Would you speed down or slow up? Slow down or speed up? I think that really depends on exactly where you are in your life right now. Maybe there's some people out there who live with no regrets. I think they just got everything right the whole time. For me, I don't really have the need to slow down or speed up. I just accept it as it is. But if I get another crack at life, oh, I got to tell you, I've lived a good life. If this was the scenario where you're just constantly cycling through different lives, I probably made huge mistakes in past lives and learned from them. I think I did pretty well this time around, and next time could be even better. Who knows? Who knows? And then the last one that's a little more topical here. Thomas Massey says, every spending bill is ultimately a tax bill. Congress taxed you $7 trillion for COVID. That's a levy of $53,000 per household. And he's exactly right. Every time you see spending bills, understand those are actually taxation bills, theoretically, I guess, really. We have no intention of ever paying off the national debt, of actually paying for these things. But they do place this burden on American families. And with that, I guess I'll transition into this before we get to any of the Ukraine stuff. While all the eyes of the world and the United States and all of our citizens were on the State of the Union speech, I've explained to you I don't like these things. I couldn't care less what a professional speechwriter puts together. It's just turd polishing as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what president gives them. These things are just about nothing. They have no impact on your life whatsoever, really. I mean, they may announce things they were going to do anyway, and so obviously a lot of harebrained ideas are always rolled out during State of the Union things. But again, it's just a political speechwriter putting something on a teleprompter so a puppet can read it to you. It's just nothing to me. I'm so unimpressed with these things. It brought this to mind.
I think we really got something in.
What do we got?
An idea.
What idea?
An idea for the show.
I still don't know what the idea is.
It's about nothing.
Right.
Everybody's doing something. We'll do nothing.
So we go into NBC, we tell them we got an idea for a show about nothing.
Exactly.
They say, what's your show about? I say, nothing.
There you go.
I think you may have something here.
All of life to me is Seinfeld. It's 11 seasons, 9 seasons, whatever Seinfeld did, there's something you can bring up in just about everything that you experience in your life. You can tie it back to something Seinfeld. If you don't believe me, spend a couple of days with me and I'll explain it to you because I can find them everywhere. But while the State of the Union was going on and everybody was paying attention to that and all the talking heads and all the conservative commentators and everybody reported on this endlessly, and I could sit here and say nothing. There was actually a speech this week that had some real consequences for you and your family. If you own a business, massive consequences for you. But it's underreported and nobody pays attention to it. I would imagine I'm in the 1% of people who actually pay attention to these things. And that was Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, gave his speech. I was going to read a little bit of it, and then I'm going to play you a clip. Now, this is almost laughable that they get away with saying these things. This is from Jerome Powell, the Fed head's speech, the Death Star. At the Federal Reserve, we are strongly committed to achieving the monetary policy goals that Congress has given us, maximum employment and price stability. This is one of his opening salvos here in his speech. This is like the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And what have we just lived through? An organization at the top of that response to COVID that did not control the disease and goodness knows did not prevent the disease. I'm still waiting to see how big the CDC budget is, because only in government when you fail spectacularly do you get more money. I can imagine with a $40 billion budget annually going into COVID, they're going to come out with, what's the best guess? What's the over-under? $100 million a year? $100 billion a year? Anyway, the Federal Reserve says their mandate from Congress is maximum employment and price stability. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the labor market is broken into pieces and prices are going through the roof. He goes on to say, we pursue these goals based solely on data and objective analysis, and we are committed to doing so in a clear and transparent manner so that the American people and their representatives in Congress understand our policy actions and can hold us accountable. Oh my gosh, in that sentence, how many things are wrong? Objective analysis. This is a group that is owned by the major money center banks. You think they're objective? You think that they would do something that would hurt their own interests? They're committed to doing so in a clear and transparent manner. They have rejected, resisted, stonewalled, and lobbied against any audit of the Federal Reserve. We still don't know where all the money went from the 2008 crisis. It says, so that the American people and their representatives in Congress understand our actions. American people aren't paying attention to your actions. That's why you keep getting away with us. And you can hold us accountable. The U.S. dollar has lost 99% of its value over the past 100 years since the creation of the Federal Reserve, and they just get more powerful. Not a lot of accountability there. He goes on to say the near-term effects on the U.S. economy of the invasion of Ukraine, the ongoing war, the sanctions, and events to come remain highly uncertain. Making appropriate monetary policy in this environment requires a recognition that the economy evolves in unexpected ways. We will need to be nimble in responding to incoming data and the evolving outlook. Here's the funny part. Maintaining the trust and confidence of the public is essential to our work. The only way that the Federal Reserve should be able to maintain trust and confidence is if nobody in the country really understands what the Federal Reserve is and what it does, and they've accomplished that. He goes on to say, last month, the Federal Reserve finalized a comprehensive set of new ethics rules to substantially strengthen the investment restrictions for senior Federal Reserve officials. Translation, you caught us. We let a couple of guys resign with all of their profits, and we'll find another way to game the system. We'll have our cousins, we'll have some blind trusts actually do the trades for us instead of doing them ourselves. He says these new rules will guard against even the appearance of any conflict of interest. They are tough and best in class in government here and around the world. This is your oligarchs pinky swearing that they won't use their insider knowledge to profit from it anymore. They promise. They did it for 109 years, but they swear, pinky swear, they won't do it anymore at all. They got caught. Two of the Fed guys got caught making massive trades before they started announcing policy stuff around COVID restrictions in particular, but they've been doing this for, as I say, 109 years. And the Federal Reserve Chairman also says, we understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. Everything we do is in service to our public mission. We at the Federal Reserve will do everything we can to achieve our maximum employment and price stability goals. Holy cow. This is akin to, as I say, a CDC speech saying they're committed to the health of the American people. But this was really the thing that people should have paid attention to, and I mentioned it before, but I found the audio clip where Jerome Powell explained that we're going to lose dollar reserve status here in the country, the United States. U.S. has enjoyed this privilege of being the world's reserve currency for quite some period of time. This should have been headline news, but of course it was not.
We do benefit from being the reserve currency for the main reserve currency for the world. And that really is because we have open capital accounts and the rule of law, and we have inflation, you know, over a long period of time under control, so that the dollar preserves its value.
As I say, since the Federal Reserve's founding, the dollar has lost 99% of its value. 99. I'm pretty sure it's 99 now. It was 95 10 years ago when I first tried. I believe it's lost 99% of its value. They tell you that they've contained inflation and maintained a strong dollar.
And so our markets are the most liquid, and it's the place where people want to be. Over time, the question is, if some want to move away from the dollar, what will be the effect on us? I don't think it's something you would feel right away. Over time, they would have to create an economic ecosystem, whereby another currency becomes, a better currency for them to use.
And this is exactly what the United States has been forcing other countries. Those of you out there who are Iran hawks, you just really are excited about hurting the Iranian people in Iran because they keep using the word mullahs, and you just hate that. And so you've been forcing Iran to find other currencies to trade in, other ways to do business, other ways to avoid sanctions. Russia, Venezuela, China. All of these endless sanctions, the U.S. foreign policy psychopaths have been forcing other countries into finding ways around the U.S. dollar. Foreign policy is creating that. They are setting these systems up. And Jerome Powell knows that. And so the game is almost over for the U.S. dollar as being the dominant thing. And he says, oh, you probably won't even notice it at first. I'll disagree with him. And I think I've got a leg to stand on because just about everything the Federal Reserve says is wrong, much like the CDC. This is the Federal Reserve that in 2007 said, oh, we see no problems in the housing market. Housing never goes down nationally. This is the same Federal Reserve before the financial crisis said, we don't think there's any cause for concern. Subprime is contained. This is the same Federal Reserve that said, oh, sure, we're going to go out and do some things because of this. We're going to buy some bonds. We're going to add to our balance sheet, and then we're just going to reverse it. And they've gone from $400 billion balance sheet to now $9 trillion, still unable to reverse it. This is the Federal Reserve that told you inflation was transitory last year, just a blip in the radar, but it's going away any day now. The Federal Reserve and the CDC, well, basically every government entity. I don't know if it's that they get it wrong. There's a possibility that they're this stupid or they're just economic policies are so bad, but I think they're really just lying.
You know, what we can do is we can make the dollar the most attractive currency by continuing to have the rule of law.
Yeah. He's going to make the dollar the most attractive currency by just printing a boatload of it, just constantly printing more and more and more. That'll make it more attractive, you know, kind of like a rare baseball card, right? I don't know anything about baseball cards, but let's just say you've got a Babe Ruth rookie card. It's worth a ton of money. Oh, it seems like a lot of people want this card because somebody's willing to pay $1 million for this card. Why don't we just print 10,000 more of them? Do you understand that when you do that, it dilutes the value of all of them? Those 10,000 aren't worth $1 million each. No, the price of all of them goes through the floor. That's the same thing with the U.S. dollar.
And open capital accounts and make it an attractive place for people to invest and to use in their businesses. There wouldn't be any short-term effect of that over time, though. I suppose it would diminish our status as the reserve currency. It's also possible to have more than one large reserve currency, and there have been times when that was the case, and so it's not really clear.
Yeah. So that's Jerome Powell explaining to you that we're on the cusp of losing dollar reserve status, and I'm pretty sure. Most Americans have no idea the portion of your standard of living, the portion of really the entire kind of bogus U.S. economy, the debt-based economy that is based on this dollar reserve status, that if we lose it, we're going to, the debt stuff's going to not be quite as easy to come by. So much like families that live beyond their means using credit cards and home equity loans. You can just imagine if somebody decides to stop loaning you money and you're just saddled with all this debt, but you can't really get new loans. Nobody's interested in giving you money anymore. And you've got all these loans with debt on them, and well, that's not a big deal because your interest expense is small, but it starts rising, and you don't have anybody new coming in to give you money. You can imagine the catastrophe that is. That's what's waiting for us. This should have been huge news for the head of the Federal Reserve, the Death Star, to come out and say, yeah, we're on the cusp of losing dollar reserve status. And then he has the cojones to just come out. And really, this is what they do. Come out and tell you, but it's really no big deal. We've blown up the dollar. Our foreign policy psychopaths have destroyed faith in the U.S. dollar across the world. By endlessly sanctioning people, they're forcing these other systems to be created because America is such a bully with this privilege of having the dollar reserve currency. So we've created this mess. We've put us in this situation, but it'll be fine when it all unravels. This is actually the speech that actually mattered. What Joe Biden stumbled through and mumbled through, more on that next hour, really has almost zero effect on anything. It's just pandering. And turd polishing, what Jerome Powell is talking about, these are the things that are going to come home to roost for you and your family. Be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I? I don't know. She was with a Russian.
wanted to just mention this as kind of the flow of money stuff. Ukraine has been selling war bonds. I don't know it's been a massively successful campaign, but I thought this was kind of interesting. This sounds like something the both the United States would be in should we ever do war bonds again. We don't have to do war bonds. You know, they did war bonds in World War II, probably World War I as well. And what that was Americans voluntarily to support the war effort. They loaned the federal government money, and then what the federal government did was they took this money in, they used it for the war effort, and then they paid off these bonds. They paid the American people back. The American people got a little bit of interest on it. It was a voluntary exchange of money. People lined up to get these things. And then the debt was gone. We don't do that anymore. Now you've got Republicans out there giving you a tax cut at the same time they increase military spending. They take in less money from you. They don't sell war bonds anymore. They just sell bonds and print money out of thin air. It's a very different system, and this is one that will not end well. But Ukraine sold these war bonds after all the money raised by the first Ukrainian war bond and then some was utilized to pay a $300 million installment on the country's existing sovereign debt. The Ukrainian government is looking to raise even more money next week, according to Bloomberg. So they sold these war bonds for the war effort. None of the money went to the war effort. The money went to pay because they had an interest payment come and due. And this is what our politicians do here as well. You understand, they take your money. They steal your money. There are still some of you out there who believe it's your patriotic duty. It's the price you pay for a civilized society to have the money ganked out of every one of your paychecks because you're a sheep. That's insulting, isn't it? I apologize. But they steal money from you to pay interest on the debt of politicians, some of them still there and many of them in days gone past. When politicians overspend and rack up this debt, politicians now steal the money from you, hundreds of billions of dollars a year. They steal it from you just to pay the interest on the debt that the previous politicians ran up. And our current crop is running up some so that future politicians will steal money from you because you will keep allowing it. And they'll use that to pay off the debt of other overspending politicians. But it's almost comical to me that Ukraine funds a war effort. This reminds me of Trump's Stop the Steal Fund, where he raised, I think, hundreds of millions of dollars for the Stop the Steal stuff. But actually, the first $8,000 of every contribution went to the GOP, the establishment GOP, and Trump's own PAC. Only the money that you contributed over $8,000 went into legal challenges to the elections. People are, what do they say? The sucker born every minute? Well, that's certainly the case. Suckers are certainly far and wide when it comes to the Ukraine crisis, too, right now. It always has to be said. I certainly have tons of sympathy for the people of Ukraine, for the people of Russia. I have sympathy for the people of the United States that live under this regime and every regime we've had over the past 50 years. But there's certainly suckers born every minute that are shedding their crocodile tears for Ukraine. So I've got a clip. It's a long one. I'm going to cheat a little bit in today's show and hand over the content of the next segment to somebody who actually lives over there who explains this Ukraine crisis because he sees the same thing that I do. All the virtue signaling on social media, all the gnashing of teeth and the pearl clutching about what's going on in Ukraine, but ignoring, really ignoring 30 years of history and particularly the last 8 years. He'll explain it to you when we come back. Stay with me. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard, melted, but we still have the... All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I have explained it. It is basically a whole show. I think it was last Friday that explained 30 years of history that Americans and American media and the bureaucrats and politicians, particularly, I'm looking at a quote I've got for next hour from Lindsey Graham. We're deciding to ignore. We're just jumping on this action by Russia and Vladimir Putin that happened, 8 days ago now, something like that. It's always so funny. You know, you pick your moment where you start paying attention, and people think that's when everything starts. It doesn't matter, Saddam Hussein. It was the moment that George W. Bush started talking about Saddam Hussein and chemical weapons. That's when everybody said, oh, this guy over there that I couldn't point to on a map, he's a boogeyman. They don't pay attention to the fact that prior to that, our own defense secretary, even at the time, Donald Rumsfeld, was over shaking hands with Saddam Hussein as he delivered Saddam Hussein chemical weapons. It's like making nicey-nice with the UPS driver when he brings by your supplies to your business. Rumsfeld was like a UPS truck driver dropping off chemical weapons with Saddam Hussein and sitting down and having a cup of tea with him. But people don't pay attention to that. They just look, you know, starting today, we see yellow cake. What is that, uranium? Yellow cake uranium? That's what they tell you, and everybody thinks, oh, this madman has got this, you know, so... People ignore the context of these things because your mainstream media doesn't tell you and your politicians just pander to you, hoping that you don't know anything about history or geography to put things in context. Well, I just thought this was a great clip. It's a little longer than I would normally like to play, but this is somebody actually in the region explaining what's going on and asking to all of those people out there changing their social media profiles. Surely, I've asked this question too. Surely you've done this before, right?
My phone rang at 7:30 in the morning on the 24th of February. The dialer was my American friend from my high school days in the US. He was the last person I expected to call, especially at 7:30 in the morning. I knew immediately that the war has actually broken out. The beginning of the war did not surprise me. In fact, it's long overdue. What surprised me was the fact that he knew nothing about the suffering that the Russian Ukrainians had endured over the past 8 years. Let me get something straight. NATO promised that they wouldn't move an inch to the east. That was a lie. And now we are surrounded by an aggressive military alliance. NATO gladly bombed Yugoslavia under the pretenses of a potential genocide. Did they bomb just military installations? No. NATO destroyed schools, hospitals, bridges, cultural monuments, private businesses, and industrial plants. Did you forget about that? Did you forget about how NATO pumped money and weapons into Georgia right before Georgia bombarded Russian peacekeepers and civilians? Of course you did. Because your media doesn't want you to know. Did you forget how yet another territory was ripped away from Serbia? Do you not remember Kosovo? Did you protest then? I bet you didn't, and I bet you didn't even care. Did you forget the invasion of Libya? If you're in Europe, you can't forget. Thousands of migrants are your daily reminder of what your governments did to that country. Did you protest the illegal invasion of Syria by Turkey in the US? I bet you didn't. Do you care about Saudi Arabia starving Yemen? I bet you don't. Do you care or did you care about the illegal invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan under false pretenses? What, they aren't people to you? Why haven't you been vocal against the murder of children and civilians at Iraqi and Afghani weddings by American bombardment? Ah, that's right. They're brown people. They're probably worth less to you. Where were your crocodile tears when Kiev started bombarding Ukrainian Russians in the east simply for doing the exact same thing as the Ukrainians did in the west, was to get rid of a corrupt government? Where were your crocodile tears when Kiev shut off electricity and water to Crimea? Where was your save the Ukrainian people when 48 civilian anti-Maidan Ukrainian protesters were rounded into a union trade house and burned alive whilst those who tried to escape the fiery hell were beaten and shot? Do you by any chance know who the Madonna of Gorlovka is? Do you know what the Alley of Angels memorial is? Let me give you a hint. People engraved into that memorial aren't alive and they are not adults. Did you shed even one digital virtue signaling tear when the children at the children's beach in Zagres were purposefully bombed by the Ukrainian military using illegal cluster bombs? I bet you didn't. But that's okay. How would you? Your mainstream media keeps you in the dark. For 8 years, the US and its allies have been pumping billions of dollars worth of lethal weapons into Ukraine. For 8 years, the Ukrainians have been waging a war with their own people in the east. And for 7 years, Russia and the people of the Donetsk and Luhansk republics have been patiently waiting for Kiev to adhere to the Minsk agreements. Should Russia have waited maybe 20 more years? You know, the amount of years that the US spent killing Afghanis. So whilst leaders like Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, Emmanuel Macron, Olaf Scholz, and Ursula von der Leyen have been virtue signaling about the poor Ukrainians, they have been robbing the Ukrainians of their dignity, making their economy run on loans from the IMF and basically robbing them of their future. And Russia is to blame when we were their primary trading partner. The West.
You know, that makes a good point right there. Talking about earlier about Ukraine using the money from their war bonds to pay off the interest on their debt. Guess where that money went? It went to these globalists with the IMF, with the World Bank. See, they've installed their puppet. This is the same playbook they use over and over again. They install a puppet government, which is what Barack Obama and Joe Biden did in 2014. They install a puppet government, and then when they get their puppet to accept massive amounts of debt from the IMF, from the World Bank, debt that their country cannot afford. And then this puppet sets them up, sets their own country up for economic failure. So now they have this war effort. They're raising war bonds. The money is actually going to the bankers. That $300 million raised for the war effort actually went to pay interest on this debt that the IMF saddled Ukraine with because their puppet took it in there. And I've done stories about this before. I encourage anybody with any interest in exactly how the world works to read the book or listen to the audiobook. I think that's what I did, of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. This is a guy who worked for the IMF and went around to countries and said, hey, you got a great country here. You need to get $10 billion loaned from the IMF. And the leader would say, well, no, we can't do that because we can't afford to pay that back. And they say, oh, trust us. We're going to build all this infrastructure for you. It's going to make you so much more prosperous. Just the growth alone is going to make this debt just seem like nothing. And, of course, that never comes true. Suddenly, this country, oh, they've got a couple of new bridges, maybe some roads, maybe they've got an airport, but it never does anything for their economy to make it worth taking on that debt. And then the IMF comes to them and goes, hey, you owe us some money. And they go, well, we can't pay. The prosperity you promised never arrived. And the IMF just scratches their head and goes, gosh, well, we got a problem here. What are we going to do? And the country says, well, I don't know. We can't pay you. And the IMF says, well, you do have a lot of natural resources. I tell you what. We're going to send our buddies with Chevron and with British Petroleum. We're going to send them on into your country, and we're going to go ahead and start taking some of your oil instead of that. And that was the plan by the IMF all along. So that's the playbook here. All wars are bankers' wars. The coup in 2014 was because the previous president, though very corrupt, did not take these IMF loans. If you listen to Confessions of an Economic Hitman, it's written by John Perkins, who was an economic hitman. He confesses to it, had a crisis of conscience, and he's blown the whistle, largely unnoticed, of course. But the former president of Ukraine said he didn't want to do that. He didn't want that money from the IMF. He knew which way it was going to take his country. And what did they do to him? They had him ousted. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Victoria Nuland, and people in the EU, other Western powers, got him out so they could get a puppet in there to take these IMF loans. And now people are sending money to the government of Ukraine to fight this war effort. And Ukraine is actually turning around and spending that, sending it back to the bankers as interest on the loans they took. This happens in country after country after country. Back to this guy.
Pushed Russia into a corner. Protect yourself from an increasingly hostile neighbor who wants to become part of a hostile military alliance called NATO and lose Nord Stream 2, for example. Or watch Russian Ukrainians get slaughtered by the thousands. The West wanted to fight this war with Russia until the very last Ukrainian. Remember Kosovo? Well, the Luhansk and Donetsk republics have every right to exist. Russia didn't set the precedent. Your leaders did when they recognized Kosovo. And final food for thought. Why was there no bombardment of innocent civilians in Crimea, even though it's closer to Kiev than Donetsk is? I'll give you a hint. The actual Russian military was there protecting the people. Here's another. The Ukrainian...
So they didn't bomb the Crimean area when they declared their independence from Ukraine and voted to be with Russia, and Russia sent troops in there. They didn't bomb the people of Crimea because the Russian military was there. So instead what they did was they cut their electricity and they built a dam to try to starve them out of there, destroy their agriculture. I think it went down by 85% is what a person that did a story on it said. and the people in the Crimean area have water just a couple of hours a day. The Ukrainian government, this government that we love now, that we want to support, that people are sending cryptocurrency to, actually built a dam to try to genocide the people in Crimea who had self-determined to stay with Russia rather than the new puppet corrupt government that the Biden-Obama administration put in. They cut off their water. This is the government that the Redditors now are all virtue signaling and sending money to.
Army has been fighting this invisible Russian army for 8 years now in the East, according to your mainstream media. Why then did the Ukrainian army collapse within 24 hours when fighting the actual Russian military? And since it did, what do you think your tax dollars were doing in Ukraine? That's right. Your tax dollars were used by Ukrainians in the West to kill Ukrainians in the East, and you didn't give a flying about it. So if you haven't been following this conflict from day one, and now you put the blue and yellow flag on your photo, wipe away your crocodile tears, please, and find out why your governments have been supporting those who have made a Nazi criminal, Stepan Bandera, their national war hero. Don't expect a good result from pushing a bear and the dragon into a corner. And definitely don't be surprised when that bear and that dragon begin pushing back. So if you haven't been crying for the collectively millions of dead Iraqis, Afghanis, Syrians, Libyans, Yugoslavians, and East Ukrainians these past 20 years, but you're crying crocodile tears for Ukrainian military installations, wipe them away and think about what your governments have been doing and what they're still doing. And I hope that this 8-year story of a war started by a criminal Ukrainian government against its own people can finally come to an end, and Ukrainians and Russians can finally live in peace. My phone rang.
So there you go. And that's from somebody over there. It's got to be really maddening to be either, you know, even in Ukraine, or to be in Russia, or to be anybody who has any idea of the true history of what's going on here, and watch our mainstream media. And I've got some really disgusting clips next hour, because I've got a very important point to make. I want to show you next hour how words matter and how you can be manipulated with just the use of one single word. One single word changes the entire perception of what goes on when there are military conflicts. It's to me, it's pretty fascinating stuff. Hopefully for you too.
It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
Commenting on that video that I just played, the guy laying out exactly what's been going on for all the virtue signaling. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Just think about this for just a second. Is genocide right or wrong? Well, I would think most people would say, well, that's wrong. Well, you are currently supporting a government if you are flying the yellow and blue flag of the Ukrainian government. And this is nothing against the Ukrainian people. I don't, you know, I disavow my government for the genocide of 500,000 people in Iraq in the 1990s, for laying waste to Syria. I've done it for 5 years on these air, on this show, explained to you how disgusted and opposed I am to these foreign interventions that kill and displace millions of innocent people. But it's interesting to me that the Ukrainian government, the one that people are sending cryptocurrency to on the Reddit threads, they're all banding around them and people are changing, is a country that has been attempting to commit genocide on their own people. And do you remember the talking point of getting us into Syria? Assad was mean to his own people. He gassed his own people. The Ukrainian government has been doing essentially the same thing. They've been shelling their own people. They've been cutting off water and electricity to their own people in an attempt to starve them out. And this is what people are supporting. In the comments section under that video of that guy I just played for you was this. I just thought it was interesting. I'm a former soldier of NATO. I fully agree with all you have said. I'm ashamed for that part of my military service which may have supported such actions. I woke up just after the war waged on Serbia, not long after I left regular military service. I had voiced too many distasteful opinions to my hierarchy. Thank you that you berate these fools who think of nobody but themselves and let themselves be brainwashed by vile, destructive politics and their lying dogs in the media. So you can tell by the sentence structure in that, that is not an American writing. That's probably some European, possibly an Eastern European. And at least he realizes as well. So I'm sure this is worldwide. Everybody understands the lying dogs in the media. We have all that in common, for the most part, those people who are awake around the world. This is quite something to behold, and I'm going to show you more of this propaganda. And I hate to tell you, a lot of it's coming from the right. A lot of it's coming from the Republican Party. You know, if you vote a little harder for the R's, maybe you'll get World War III kicked off a little sooner. We'll start off False Flag Friday with the disgusting, vile creature from South Carolina that goes by the name of Lindsey Graham. Get ready for this one. Be right back.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I would say over the last 5 years, I think I've gotten a lot of company in the last couple. But when I started in 2017, I was kind of the lone anti-war voice out there. I love seeing, it's interesting to watch conservatives wake up to this war propaganda that's going on now. But the Republican Party doesn't seem to understand that a lot of conservatives aren't buying this crap anymore. They don't want it. This one is especially bad when they're talking about the territorial integrity of Ukraine while they leave the southern border wide open. Southern border of the United States. It's interesting to watch. The Republicans are way behind what their constituents want. Unfortunately, see, constituents, you don't matter. Oh, your cute little $50 contribution to Roger Wicker or the Republican Party. That's cute and all. They like it. That lets them know they've got you. But the big money is with the oil companies and the weapons manufacturers, the defense contractors. That's who they actually listen to. They're trying to drag you into this war. They're trying so hard. The Republicans trying to sell you on this. Well, most of them. And it's interesting to watch. Conservatives don't seem to be buying it. The especially evil cretin who goes by the name of Lindsey Graham, the blood-soaked parasite from South Carolina, put this out in a couple of tweets. And you can imagine, if you would, just for a second, imagine that an Iranian official put this tweet out about Donald Trump. This is what Lindsey Graham said. Is there a Brutus in Russia? Is there a more successful Colonel Stauffenberg in the Russian military? Graham tweeted this, referencing the Roman politician who participated in the assassination of Julius Caesar and the German military officer who attempted to kill Adolf Hitler. Quote, this is Lindsey Graham again. The only way this ends is for somebody in Russia to take this guy out. You would be doing your country and the world a great service. This is Lindsey Graham calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin. You know, there are actually some very big hawks in the upper ranks of the Russian military that would really probably like to see some nukes go off. So removing Vladimir Putin, be careful what you wish for. This is Lindsey Graham, a Republican. But he said nice things about Donald Trump, so I'm supposed to ignore this and talk about what a patriot he is. I will admit to you right now, and it is a sin for which I am continually trying to redeem myself, that people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, his snuggle buddy, I wonder if Lindsey Graham has got like a body pillow. I originally thought, you know, did he stuff the body? Has he got it like got John McCain's body in some kind of permanent spoon position so he can sleep with him at night? I'm not sure exactly. I would say a body pillow maybe. A little too macabre to think of him with the actual corpse stuffed of John McCain. But I would imagine he spoons with a body pillow of the late, horrible John McCain, who's looking up at this war right now with great glee. This is Lindsey Graham calling for the assassination. Can you imagine if an Iranian official had put that out about Donald Trump? What do you think Lindsey Graham would have said? To the skies! Drop the bombs today! This was interesting. This is kind of along the false flag narrative here. This was a press conference with Boris Johnson. Now this, air quotes here in the studio, reporter, somehow got a front row seat to Boris Johnson's press conference on the Ukraine issue and stood up, as reporters don't normally do, stood up and gave this impassioned plea to Boris Johnson live on television.
Because you are afraid. Because NATO is not willing to defend. Because NATO is afraid of the World War III, but it is already started. And these are Ukrainian children who are there taking the hit. You are talking about more sanctions, Prime Minister, but Roman Abramovich is not sanctioned. He is in London. His children are not in the bombardments. His children are there in London. Whose children are in Netherlands, in Germany, in mansions. Where are all these mansions seized? I don't see that. I see that my family members, that my team members are saying that we are crying because we have went to rob. This is what is happening, Prime Minister.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your questions and thank you for getting here today. I'm glad that you have been able to get here. And look, I just want to say that I'm acutely conscious that there is not enough that we can do as the UK government to help in the way that you want. And I've got to be honest about that.
So what this turned out to be, I don't know, want to try to pronounce this woman's name. No, I don't even want to try to pronounce her name. But this woman, this air quotes here in the studio, reporter, who got front row access to a Boris Johnson press conference, turns out she's actually one of the World Economic Forum's young global leaders participants. So this was a psyop, particularly on the Russian people in the tears. Oh, when she got so choked up. Kind of reminded me, I should have gotten these side by side, the babies in incubators speech that the daughter, was the daughter of a UN official or something, gave with babies in incubators. Never had happened, but it was the same heartfelt, choked up appeal. This woman was not a reporter. She's not a reporter. She has been on the ground in Ukraine running one of their corrupt organizations over there that's actually supposedly an anti-corruption agency. I looked her up yesterday. So this is just interesting. This is how war propaganda works. They want this to go wider. They're looking for any reason. Ukraine is not yet a NATO power, but Article 5 of the NATO Charter essentially is that when one country is attacked, we all respond. It's war when one country is attacked. This is why we don't want to be adding countries to NATO, because that puts U.S. soldiers responsible for other countries, and sometimes other countries start crap and find themselves in a war, and the United States would then be beholden to sending our troops over there to protect them. They're looking for any reason to get this thing to spread. There was some talk that if the Chernobyl thing went off and radiation went up into the air and traveled across a border to Poland or to any other NATO country, that would provoke an Article 5. That would be an attack on a NATO country. They're looking for any reason. This is the layup. If they really want this war, if they want NATO actually militarily involved, then there's an easy way for them to do it. We know what's coming next.
Well, we have stated that cyber attacks can trigger Article 5, but we have never gone into a position where we give a potential adversary the privilege of defining exactly when we trigger Article 5. We are focused on strengthening our cyber defenses. We are very much aware of that.
So there you go, a cyber attack. If there's a cyber attack that spread, and look, Russians, Ukrainians, Chinese, Vietnamese, Peruvians are all constantly hacking, attacking different people all around the world. That's hackers are going to hack. So a cyber attack that attacks a NATO ally, they believe, would draw us all into World War III. As I say, the Republicans are hardcore selling you this war. It's interesting. They found some common ground with Joe Biden. They won't point out the fact that this entire mess started with the Biden-Obama administration. I keep asking this question. If Republicans and Democrats are these mortal enemies, why doesn't the Republican Party do the very easy layup of saying, we wouldn't even be in this mess had it not been for Barack Obama and Joe Biden overthrowing the government in 2014. This is a layup. You get to make the Democrats and particularly Biden look bad. But they're not, are they? No, instead they're selling you on Russian aggression. This is the first or second ranking guy, Reich. His name is James Reich, Jim Reich. I think he's from Idaho. This is just Republicans warmongers warmongering.
Great representation of Republican leadership in support of the Ukrainian people. At this perilous time, we feel obliged to do all we possibly can to preserve the lives of Ukrainians that are perishing every day.
Women. He didn't do anything to preserve the lives of Ukrainians that have been perishing every day for the last 8 years, the ethnic Russian Ukrainians, but now he feels compelled to act.
Women, children, civilians. I applaud the sanctions the president has put in place. These are indeed good steps. But the sanctions have not deterred Putin's military, and we believe we must do more. We must sanction all of Russia's banks and appropriate industries and include secondary sanctions. With Nord Stream 2 shut down, we now must help end Europe's dependence on Russian oil and gas for good.
That is when you know that you're listening to somebody who has got a lunch scheduled later with a bunch of oil company, American oil company lobbyists. Because this has been the big fight anyway, is who's going to provide natural gas to Europe. Russia had a pipeline set up to do it. Germany said, come on in. We're ready to buy your gas. United States Congress acts and says no. Donald Trump endlessly sanctions Nord Stream 2 and talks about how they shouldn't be reliant on Russia. This is oil companies talking through a congressman.
The president should rescind his executive order from last year that shut down oil and gas production in the United States to a large degree, and then we can help Europe. We support the weapons and other assistance that the president has provided to the Ukrainian military, and I have immediately, as ranking member of Foreign Relations Committee, signed off on every request to send weapons immediately when it was presented.
So there you go. There's a Republican, one of those fiscal responsibility types, who has assigned. He can't sign fast enough approval for all of the U.S. taxpayer-funded weapons that Joe Biden wants to send over to Ukraine. It's so strange that I've done a show for 5 years pointing out that these parties are both just massively corrupt. But it's not that. It's not enough. We got to send more weapons, more weapons.
There's a 40-mile convoy of Russian tanks stalled outside of Kiev. They have not been destroyed because we have not supplied enough weapons to the Ukraine. Again, we must do more.
Yeah, there's your Jim Reich, Republican on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, saying we need to go over there. We need to give them the tools to murder as many Russians as possible. That certainly won't escalate things. Here is Mitt Romney, another Republican. I know you already don't like him because he opposed Donald Trump. Just remember that Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the conservative media tried to sell you this guy in 2012.
Is there anything that the U.S. can do to stop Vladimir Putin?
Well, Vladimir Putin has put himself on a course where the people who will stop him are the people of Ukraine. We want to help them with additional armament, with food and supplies. That is getting through at this stage. But the people of the world have also come together and insisted that their governments continue to increase the sanctions on Russia, and that will continue.
So there you go, Mitt Romney wanting to send more weapons. Now, I'm kind of teeing this up. This is to show you that, of course, the Biden administration is the spearhead of this thing. They want to send weapons. They want to give them support. We're sending them billions and billions of dollars that's taken right out of your checking account, sent to the IRS. The IRS deposits into account, and these politicians take it out and send it to Ukraine. I'm sure you're happy about that. It's Friday. Take a look at your check today. Look at your federal withholding and get that warm, fuzzy feeling that you were helping prop up a white nationalist country that has been trying to genocide millions of its own people over the last 8 years. That should get you through the weekend. It's got to make you feel good. You wouldn't let the government take your money if you didn't approve of the way they spent it. But I'm leading this up to something. I'm going to show you exactly who it is that you're supporting. And then I'm going to show you a really interesting semantic trick. There is one word that is used by our politicians, our bureaucrats, our media, by the military-industrial complex. One word that changes the entire narrative around any conflict around the world. And it is their unuse of this word, the fact that they are not using it in this case. It's just fascinating. I think it's interesting. Hopefully the payoff is worth the tease. probably should have brought this closer to home and got some sound bites of Roger Wicker. He's one of the chief war criminals. I believe he's on the Senate for Armed Services Committee. And he is certainly a Russia hawk. He's been itching to get into conflict with Russia, sanction them endlessly. He's paid no attention to the Ukrainians bombing ethnic Russians for 8 years. He's paid no attention to the fact that Barack Obama and Joe Biden overthrew the government in 2014. He's just got to do his bidding for, I guess, the military-industrial complex. But I don't have any clips from him. Just know he's a fellow traveler with the rest of these blood-soaked war criminals. This was the House voted on something. Let's see. Is this what this is? Oh, no. This is this was I just have titled here on this clip. Thank you to the U.S. taxpayers. You might want to work through the weekend. You probably need to earn a little bit more money so they can pick a little bit money out of your pockets, because we've got a lot of commitments we're making with this Ukraine issue.
This morning, more American-made weaponry is arriving on the battlefields of Ukraine. A source says the U.S. has now delivered hundreds of Stinger anti-aircraft missiles to Ukrainian forces as the Russian invasion escalates. In the capital, Kyiv, a night of heavy bombardment.
It's a border into Poland. Listen, as I'm talking to you, you can hear what's happening in the city.
ABC's Ian Panel was on the air when an explosion lit up the sky.
There was a large flash over in the distance. It's an incredibly foggy night. You can only see probably about 50 to 100 yards. Many others.
I got to tell you, that does sound like that would be terrifying. The poor Ukrainian people. My heart goes out to these people that the bankers have got you in their crosshairs, that the neocons have got you in their crosshairs, that they're going to use you, use your country, use this conflict to make massive amounts of money, but you're stuck there in dense fog and all you can hear is just the sounds of bombardment without even being able to really see far away. That just sounds absolutely horrific. Here is what the House did. I've got a statistic on Congress critters in a second. I have said that about 95% of politicians are just beyond redemption, just a really slimy class of people, but I'm going to revise that. This is what the House of Representatives did.
The House of Representatives has overwhelmingly approved a non-binding resolution expressing solidarity with the Ukraine. NPR's Deirdre Walsh reports on the show of support for an ally under attack.
Ukrainian-born Indiana Republican Congresswoman.
Now, I did hear they talk about Ukraine being an ally, and that is true. I believe they had 11 troops in Afghanistan with us. So there's that. I heard a report, too. I have not independently verified this, that we actually left them there. There's like 18 Ukrainians still in Afghanistan when we bugged out, and we left them there. that's the kind of ally. I mean, I got to tell you. If you're another country, you don't want friends like the United States.
Victoria Spartz spoke emotionally on the House floor about how inspired Americans were by those fighting back against the Russian invasion.
And they see your struggles and praying with you and standing with you. And this resolution from we the people, from this United States Congress, is an evidence.
The resolution demands an immediate ceasefire and full withdrawal of Russian forces from Ukraine. The measure backs economic sanctions against Russia and reaffirms Ukraine's sovereignty. It also puts members on record saying the House of Representatives would never recognize any government Russian President Vladimir Putin attempted to install.
Again, they violated that own type of thing. They recognized Kosovo when they got involved in that war, and suddenly people had their independence there, and they recognized that one. I've said 95% of politicians are just cretins. It turns out it's actually 99.4% of them. The bill, H.R. 956, or otherwise known as, quote, supporting the people of Ukraine, unquote, overwhelmingly passed the House of Representatives on a 426-3 vote. Only Representatives Thomas Massey of Kentucky, Paul Gosar of Arizona, and Matt Rosendale of Montana voted against it. So 99.4% of politicians are utter scumbags, and apparently 0.6% of them will actually stand up against something like this. Now, here's the payoff. What are you actually fighting for? What are we supporting? What is our Congress coming to the aid of? What is your taxpayer dollars going to? This is, I believe, a member of Parliament who is one of these. She's a pretty attractive woman. She's a member of the Ukrainian Parliament. There have been some news stories about her. She's armed up. She's got an AK or an AR or whatever it is. There, you know, a lot of people are kind of they're signaling this toughness from Ukraine. top models from Ukraine shown with these weapons that are done in just beautifully backlit pictures. You know, it's all about this, oh, look at the brave, strong Ukrainian people. And I'm sure there are some of them that are actually out there fighting. But she was seen with a weapon. So, of course, Fox News brings her on to talk about her defense of her country.
For the rest of us that aren't Ukrainians, I think the world, quite frankly, Kira, is surprised by the will of the Ukrainian people to stand up and fight.
Now, I'm gonna go back. I'm going to replay that in a little bit and reference it. But what I want you to pay attention to for this next part is this is, I believe, a member of the Ukrainian parliament. Who's fighting this Russian aggression. I want you to listen to what she thinks she's fighting for.
Are you?
Well, I'm not surprised. We have been fighting Putin for the last 8 years, and we had three revolutions in our country when we did not agree with what was going on with the direction of where we're moving in. But right now, it's a critical time.
All right, get ready. This is what she believes. This is a member of the government in Ukraine arming herself to the teeth to fight off this Vladimir Putin because she's fighting for a cause. What is that cause?
Because we know that we not only fight for Ukraine, we fight for this new world order for the democratic countries. We knew that we are the shield for the Europe.
She's fighting for the new world order. Yeah, keep sending your cryptos there, Redditors. Now, I want to make a point about war propaganda and how it works. This is very interesting. I'm going to play the beginning of this clip again. This is Fox News. They've perfected selling wars. I think this one's not working. I got to tell you, I think a lot of Republicans and conservatives have moved past this or seeing through it, finally. But they're going to keep trying. You know, that's how they get paid, is to sell you on the next war. Sure, there's a lot of banners. I don't watch Fox News. It makes my stomach turn outside of the Tucker Carlson show. I can't watch all the news alerts, breaking news. I don't know if we've got a terror alert scale yet, but Fox News, with all of their alarming graphics, you've got to always be alarmed when you're watching Fox News. But listen to how this anchor opens up this segment.
For the rest of us that aren't Ukrainians, I think the world, quite frankly, Kira, is surprised by the will of the Ukrainian people to stand up and fight. Are you?
Well,
okay, so he is praising the Ukrainian people for standing up to fight against a foreign invader. Now, isn't that interesting? Because anytime anybody else in any other country has stood up to bravely fight for their country against foreign invaders, if they were with the U.S. flag on their shoulder, they were called what? Anyone? Anyone? Insurgents. Are these not just Ukrainian insurgents? See, when we invade Iraq, the Iraqis who fight the invading force were not, we didn't express a lot of amazement and admiration for their ability to fight for their country. No. We called them insurgents and terrorists. In Afghanistan, if you fought against the foreign occupation of your country, against the U.S. and the other Western powers that have been in Afghanistan, they were called insurgents. See, it's one word. And this Fox News host really admires the Ukrainian people fighting against a foreign invader that's not us. But when it's us, anybody who fights for their own country, because they are patriotic, loyal to their own country, they are dismissed as evil, radical, terrorists and insurgents. I find that pretty fascinating, that one word. You're a patriot to your country, a staunch defender of your nation. When Vladimir Putin's invading your country and you fight back, but if the United States and Western powers invade your country and you fight back, you're a dirty insurgent terrorist. That's how war propaganda works. I'll be right back.
What's a frequency can at the shop and subtrain?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. About to put another week in the books. This was a quick one. world's flying by. We finish out every Friday the same way every week as we take a look and I chronicle the world's descent into madness, involving now also a new insane war, and this week on the Crazy Train. Now, if we are, and I think I have documented it well over the many, many weeks that we've been doing this segment, years, actually, if we are truly on the crazy train, then we certainly have one person conducting the show, and that is Joe Biden. I did not pay attention to the State of the Union speech. I have not seen it. I've relied on some clips, and most of the ones that I'm most interested in are just particularly the flubs, and to listen to him mumble his way through these things, there were... This really's got to, on the world stage, or as an American, you got to have a ton of confidence in this guy leading us into World War III.
There's never been a good bet to bet against the American people, never. Given half a chance, they've never, ever, ever, ever let the country down. We're the only nation that has always turned every crisis we've faced into an opportunity. No other nation you can name.
Yeah, that we're just...
Into an opportunity. No other nation you can name. Has gone through a terrible circumstance and come out at the other end worse off than they were before the circumstance occurred.
Wait, what?
Into an opportunity. No other nation you can name has gone through a terrible circumstance and come out at the other end worse off than they were before the circumstance occurred.
Yeah, so you can count on Americans to go into a bad situation and come out worse. This is, you know, Joe Biden... I don't know how to describe this one. Joe Biden doesn't think a wall works, but not for the reason you think.
Because you can't build a wall high enough to keep out a vaccine. The vaccine can stop the spread of these diseases.
I mean, he's right. You got to give it. When Joe Biden is right, he's right. You cannot build a wall high enough to keep out those vaccines. We've tried.
Because you can't build a wall high enough to keep out a vaccine. The vaccine can stop the spread of these diseases.
Golly. Oh, my gosh. Holy cow. This was, you know, just to show you that he's at least, you know, maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe he'll stumble through some of the things about, talking about the American people coming out worse than how they went in. Maybe he'll mix up the wall and vaccines. And viruses, but at least when it comes to foreign policy, that's really when he musters all of his mental resources to make sure at least we get that right.
Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people.
God. One more time, Joe.
Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe are they taking polling in Iran? About what's going on about Russia's encirclement of Kyiv. I'll correct you there. You're not going to make me say it. I'm not going to wear the mask. I'm not going to take your experimental vaccine, and I'm not going to use your New World Order pronunciation of Kyiv. This was really disgusting. This is a racist clip. So let me go ahead and just warn you. I'm going to put out a trigger alert. If racism is offensive to you, please tune out for the next about a minute and 20 seconds. It hurts me to play this because I think it is so demeaning to people of color. But I think I think it has to be played. This is Kamala Harris on the Morning Hustle show. This is Urban Radio. And again, my apologies for the racist tone of this clip.
Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me get a piece of paper. I got to take some notes on this. So Ukraine is a country, and it's near another country called what? Russia? She's talking to people she believes are third graders. This is on the Morning Hustle Urban Radio. Again, I apologize for the racist, condescending tone of this clip.
Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Okay. A bigger, more powerful country invading a smaller country that's not as strong. It seems like we've seen that on the world stage repeatedly for the last 20 years. Has Russia been invading other countries for 20? No. Oh, that's right. Never mind. Mm-hmm.
And it goes against everything that we stand for.
We do not stand for a powerful nation invading another country. Well, except for Afghanistan. Well, except for Iraq. Well, there was that thing in Libya, but except for Libya, for sure. Well, in Syria. So except for Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria. Oh, Yemen. Well, technically, we haven't invaded Yemen. We're just bombing the crap out of them on a daily basis. So those five for sure. Well, Somalia. Yeah, we got troops in Somalia. We're bombing the crap out of them these days, too. So it, with the exceptions of Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Yemen, and Somalia, we do not approve of more powerful countries going in and attacking smaller countries.
The terms that we use, we say we respect the sovereignty, the territorial integrity of countries.
So except for the above name exceptions, we didn't accept the territorial integrity of Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, Yemen, Somalia. We did name a whole new president for Venezuela, just kind of out of the blue. We just went, the guy that is in there now, he's no good. We're putting our guy in. That never took. But we still recognize Venezuela's sovereignty, even though we picked their president just by saying it out loud.
Right. Their independence. Russia has gone into Ukraine militarily, unprovoked, with no justification other than to exercise its power to take over another country.
Okay. Again, we don't like that. You should not take your troops and go into another country unprovoked just to exercise your power, except for the exceptions I keep naming to you.
So essentially, that's what's at stake. And we as America are saying that's wrong. And we will stand with Ukraine in saying that that is wrong. But that's essentially where we are. That's essentially the issue. And when it comes to what we know to be principles of fairness, we know that what Russia is doing is wrong. When it comes to what needs to happen then, well, there needs to be severe consequence and accountability. And that's why you'll hear on the news that we talk about sanctions, which is basically...
Wait, what are sanctions?
Having Russia pay a financial cost to the point that we can have a real impact, put a real hurt on their economy as a consequence for their bad behavior, which is resulting in the loss of innocent lives. And that's where we are. That's what the issue is, essentially.
Oh, my gosh. She just talked to an urban radio audience. I would imagine many people of color, and this is why I apologize for the racism of that clip. She just talked to them like they're third graders. That's where we are. That's where Kamala Harris puts her own community. I'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, about to put another week in the books. Before I leave, though, I want to part with my best advice of the week, and that is to make sure that this weekend, when you're looking for somewhere to go out to eat, you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. This is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business with a ton of regulars. I got to tell you, when people go there, they go back and back and back and back again. They are 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas. They have online now a 14-inch pizza. This is a new product. You got to order it online. You can't even order it in the store. This is a corporate thing. They're testing it out, and it seems to be flying off the shelves. So you can get a 14-inch pizza as well if you order online or through the app. Make sure you download their app and go to the app store. Find Your Pie. You'll get all kinds of points for goodies and free pizzas and stuff. You can also get pastas, paninis, salads, gelatos, beer, wine, catch a game, do whatever you want to. And coming up on March 14th, 314 is Pie Day. This is the biggest day of the year, and this Pi Day is actually going to go on for 3 days. So that's Monday, March 14th, Tuesday the 15th, and Wednesday the 16th. You'll get $3.14 off one of their fantastic pizzas. You do need to download their app before you do that. They've also got some things going on where you'll get, I think, maybe triple points when you order these things. So you'll get even more freebies by doing this. Like I say, you're going to want to go back many times. So make sure you get the app. When you get a receipt, you scan a little barcode at the bottom of it and you earn points towards free goodies. So that is your Pi, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Mark your calendars for Pi Day on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Not of this coming week, but starting March 14th, 314, that'll be Pi Day at your Pi. You will have a great time saving money and expressing your inner pizza. All right, to finish out the insanity of the world from this week on the Crazy Train, here's a fun one. This is a fun one. So remember, your taxpayer dollars funding the weapons heading into Ukraine.
Oh, it's about 9 a.m. on Monday, February 28th. 2022, as you can see, that's the VIP club of the Premier Palace Hotel. I'm walking down to Krasatik, and I'm going to the supermarket to get some food. They've announced that it's okay to go to supermarkets and pharmacies. The problem that we're having is that because of the weapons that the Zelensky regime handed out willy-nilly
from the American taxpayer,
in the last few days, a lot of criminals have these military-grade weapons, quite frankly. And so there's been robberies, there's been looting, there's been rapes, there's been all kinds of havoc because of these criminals. And it's known for a fact that these a lot of the shooting that went on last night in Kiev had nothing to do with the Russians. The Russians were 10 kilometers or more away from these shootings, so it was clearly probably gang-related, gangs settling scores, and shooting one another. That's something that the Western media is not talking about, of how the Zelensky regime, by handing out weapons, has basically given weapons to all the criminal elements in the city. And the criminal elements in the city are, first of all, figuring out their dominance hierarchy and this anarchy that the government has created. And soon enough, once that's settled, they'll start targeting the civilians.
So there you go. Joe Biden was right. Name one other country that can take a bad situation and come out the other side worse. That's what we have exported to Ukraine. Again, now you are taking your taxpayer dollars, money that you earn, stripped out of your paycheck, stolen from you by our political class, put into arms, sent to Ukraine to arm Kiev gangs. There you go. Another wild success of our foreign policy team there. One of my favorite things I've been watching this past week is the people pouring out the Russian vodka, you know, the one they already paid for. So this is the new Freedom Fries, I guess, or the burning of the Nikes. People pouring out the Russian vodka. Hockey is banning Russia from participating in events because, you know, the hockey players are behind Vladimir Putin's invasion. Also are the soccer players. Or football, FIFA is banning Russian teams because it's the soccer players' fault. The European Broadcasting Union, this is when it starts to get serious, people. The European Broadcasting Union says that Russia will not be allowed in this year's European Song Contest. Apple has stopped selling its products through the Apple Store in Russia, and Disney has removed Anastasia from the Disney Plus streaming service. That'll stop him. But if that's not enough, if the pressure from those boycotts is not enough on Vladimir Putin, I think this may be it. An international cat federation has banned all Russian-owned and bred cats from competing in international competitions in a move that's sure to stop Putin's attack on Ukraine. Let's see. Gosh, what do I have time for? I actually have some things other than Ukraine. Well, I'll throw a COVID one in here. We haven't hit that, you know, because Putin ended COVID. But this is a kind of funny one. For all of you who rolled up your child's sleeve and gave them the experimental shot, the research is in.
This morning, new data shows the Pfizer vaccine was less effective in kids than in teens and adults. The study shows that in New York State, at the height of the Omicron variant, the pediatric dose of the Pfizer vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11 was less effective than in teens and adults who got the full dose, providing minimal protection against infection a month after vaccination.
Oh, so there you go. Didn't do any good, but it was, you are part of the experiment, and they are going to get a lot of money off myocarditis now. Who was it I heard the other day saying they got myocarditis and pericarditis? Oh, it was David Knight. So they should start running like little cartoons with the carditis brothers, myocarditis and pericarditis. And they can start giving kids storybooks using these two characters. Actually, very genius. Let me see if I can read this real quick. This is just a funny one. I want to end on something funny. This is an old story. Some older people who seek medical help from diminished vision might achieve distinct benefits by shedding some light literally on the problem. A group of researchers at St. Bartholomew's Hospital in London checked the lighting in the homes of 63 people with an average age of 76 who were patients at the hospital's low vision clinic. Among the things that were discovered was that the average lighting in the homes was near one-tenth that found in hospitals. The treatment was simple. Add a 60-watt bulb in a small adjustable lamp. That produced an improvement in vision for more than three-quarters of the patients. That's the country. That's our medical research now. Just change the light bulb, for the love of God. All right, that's all the time I got. I'll see you
no
Monday.
No matter
bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.